Well, brothers and sisters, please, as we turn to that time of receiving God's word of truth, his direction of righteousness in our life, amen, we turn back to Luke chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 10 to 17 this morning. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. So beginning there in verse 10, this is the Lord's word to us. Please read along with me if you have found your place there. And it says this, "And when the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. And taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But the multitudes were aware of this and followed him. And welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. And the day began to decline. And the 12 came and said to him, 'Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place.' But he said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said, 'Well, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people.' For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, 'Have them recline to eat in groups of about 50 each.' And they did so, and had them all recline. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them, and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, I thank you and praise you that we can always come to you. We come to you now. Our faithful Creator, God, and Provider. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name and ask that you would provide for us what we need from your word. Lord, call our hearts and our minds away from any distractions. Who knows what they may be, but there are often many. Sanctify this time in our hearts. Set us apart that we might be captivated before you. Lord, when our God speaks, there's nothing more important. So may we come under your word and may we hear you. Lord, I pray you would be the one speaking by the power of your Spirit. Just take control of me, clear my mind, use me as an empty vessel. You would care for your people. Bless us, Lord, with this word. Give us what we need. You know what we need very well. You know our hearts. You know where they go and what they think before we do. You know what we don't even know about them. You know all things. You definitely know what we need. So, Father, I pray you would bless us by providing that today. And ultimately, we need you. You're our need. So, oh, Father, would you give us yourself? Call us into a unity in that. That this is what we all go after. It's more of you. And that we seek to glorify your name and follow you wherever you may call us to go. And you get all the glory. Oh, Father, bless us with much of yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, provision, you know what provision is, right? The having or possessing of that which we need for our life, right? Provision's pretty important, I think, to most people. Most all people concern themselves a bit with making sure, well, no, we all want to know that we have provision, we have what we need, or at least we have access to what we need, right? That we want to know that. Because of that, it's so important, I think, that it is often a cause of anxiousness and fear in people, that we would have what we need, right? That's the bottom line. It's an important subject to us, I think. We want to know that, right? Now, as good little Christians, if we were to be asked on a test, right, like theology and our knowledge, what's our provision? Where does it come from? We know the answer, right? God, right? He's our provision. He supplies all that we need. We know this. True. But isn't it also true that we, even as good little Christians, sometimes are challenged in our faith in that? Faith and knowledge are not the same. You've got to have knowledge to have faith, right? But geez, knowledge, it can stop short of faith. And so we're challenged sometimes to really believe it, because we can always come up in our minds and hearts with, what if, right? Well, we know the circumstances in our minds. You fill in the blanks. Will we have what we need? We want to know we have provision. Our well-being's at stake, right? Because it's what we need. Well, because of that, in light of that truth, I think today's passage can be greatly helpful to us as believers in our faith. Why? Well, because in this passage, and just get to the point, Jesus reveals himself to be our great provider. He really does. And so that's what I want us to see, is just how great of a provider he is. Now, this has been the pattern we've seen in the New Testament. We were in the section of Luke. Jesus is revealing himself always with great power and authority through these miracles in different ways. He's just revealing how he has power and authority over all these realms, right? It's just glorious and majestic in all these ways, and how we should look to him by faith. Well, here he does it again. He another miracle. And in this miracle, he just reveals himself, right, to be... Well, he reveals himself to be God again, because he does what only God can do. But he creates food out of nothing and shows himself to be our great provider. So I just want to back up and look at that today in our passage. All of it is like, how is Jesus our provider? Not just that he is our provider, but what kind of provider is he, right? Isn't he upbraiding, miserly type of provider? Well, let's see. He reveals exactly what kind or type of provider he is. And I think as we look at it, it ought to encourage us in our faith in Jesus as our great provider. And then, of course, there are other truths to learn along the way. Always are, right? God's always speaking through his word in many ways. So let's get started by looking. We're going to see three different types of provider that Jesus shows himself to be. There's really more, but we're going to look at three specifically as we break it down, organizing it in my head. And the first one is this. In our passage, we can see Jesus is a welcoming provider. Man, I love that. He's a welcoming provider. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11 for this, all right? Now, we got to start, though, where this passage starts. And it starts here with verse 10, and it says, when the apostles returned, they gave an account to him, that's Jesus, of all that they had done. We got to stop and examine that a minute. Now, if you're here last week, you know what this is about, right? We're just continuing on in what happened last week. Were they returned from where? Well, remember, Jesus sent the apostles out. First, he gave them a power and authority over diseases and over the demons. And he didn't do that for them just to go have a good time. He did that so that he would provide what they needed to perform the job and task that he gave them to do. And that's to go out and preach the kingdom of God. He gave them the mission to go out and preach the kingdom and the gospel, right, in all the towns and cities that they would go through throughout Galilee. Here's the job. And then he gave them this power and authority to be able to do that, right, as they went and having the validation and of their message as they went through these miracles. So that's what the job was. And now they've finished the job. It was a short-term job. And they've returned to him. And what do they do once they return? They give an account. You know what that means, right? Well, it says they told him what all they had done. That's what it means to give an account. So how did you do, right? Gave you a job, gave you what you needed. How did it go? Should be reasonable to us, right? Jesus is their master. He's their Lord, their authority. Gave him a job. Now he's asking them, tell me how the job went. Happens all the time in our world today, right? At least it should. Happens in all kinds of realms. At work, you know, if you're in charge or you're under somebody, you know, you're either given task or somebody's given you a task or a job, right? Typically, at some point, you've got to do what? You got to come and give an account. Like, how did it go? Did you complete the task? Did you do it in the way that I wanted you to do it, right? Happens at work, happens at home, right? Typically, the more important the task, what? The greater the likelihood and the depth of the account giving, right? So you just see that's what happens here. This is a pretty important, it's a big deal. Jesus gave them a pretty important job. And so here they come back and they're giving them an account. How did you do? Why do I belabor this? Well, brothers and sisters, I want you to come into this and see, one day, we all got to do this. You understand? Well, what do you mean? Well, I remember last week I talked about, in a very similar way, as we're a believer, we've been given a very similar job to what the apostles had there, right? To go and proclaim the kingdom of God. We call it the Great Commission. We're all called to go ye therefore and make disciples, right? Is that an important job? Yeah. I would say eternally it's high on the list, right? And does Jesus give us what we need? Yeah, he had all the power and authority has been given to me, and so you go in my name and authority. Right? Right now we're in the middle of that job. If we're living and breathing, that job's still going on. But one day, brothers and sisters, we're all going to return to our master, and he's going to say, how'd it go? Right? And we have to give an account. So I think it's good for us to be reminded. To be mindful of the reality that we're all going to give an account for this job that we have been given to do, right? Well, why do you need to remind me, right? Well, I think at least at this, at the very least, we need to be reminded of this so that what? That we keep on track. Isn't it true that we can be easily distracted from the job that the Lord has given us to do? And this can happen for all sorts of reasons, whether it's we allow too many non-kingdom, time-demanding things in our life that take us away from the main job that our Lord's given us to do, or that we just allow our hearts to wander off after all these things that it loves, right? And we put aside the main job, right? What's the mission? What's the mission? It's good to be reminded that one day we're going to give an account of the mission we've been given by our Lord and Master. Right? So that what? It'll keep us on track. Right? I need this. I need it all the time. You know, I talk to my brother about it all the time. What's the mission? Remember, what's the mission? It's to go and make disciples. Lord, help us to stay on track. So good to be reminded. You see here, you just see the disciples. They give an account of this shorter mission. We're all going to be doing it. It's no new teaching to you, hopefully. It's the parable of the talents. You know, Jesus talks about it all the time in Scripture. That's what he's telling us about. You know, we can try to read all these things into those parable of the talents. I think it's one big truth he's teaching us. One day you're going to have to give an account for what I gave you and for what purpose I gave it to you. So we need to be mindful of that, okay? So I love you. I want you to be mindful. I want to help me be mindful. What's the mission so we don't get off? The mission is make disciples. Going to give an account. All right, we got to keep going. Look at the second part of that verse. What happens as they return and giving him an account? Well, it says, you know, either right after they do that, or I think it's while they're doing that, in order for them to be able to do this better, it says Jesus, he takes them with him. So they're there. Where are they? Well, they're there in the midst of lots of crowds. Mark helps us there. He says, the crowds are so big and all over them, they don't even have time to eat. Right? So that literally says that. So he says, let me take you away and let's go. And he goes off to Bethsaida. And it tells us here later in the text, but Mark tells us too that wherever they're going, Bethsaida, where that is, across the lake, across the sea, it's a lonely place. It's a desolate place. Not a lot of people there. That's purposeful. Why? Well, the idea here is he's taking them away from these crowds by themselves. Why? Mark again tells us very explicitly, Jesus says, let's go away for a while so you can rest a while. Jesus takes the disciples away after they've gone out and done this work to go and get some rest. No doubt, the apostles, after all of this, going from town to town, village to village, right? They've been doing the ministry, gave them to do. They're probably a bit tired, right? Maybe even exhausted. Then Jesus says, let's go get some rest. Now, what do we do with that? I think we ought to, there's several things here I think we ought to do with it. First of all, I think we see the reality that we as disciples of Christ, that's true of no matter who we are, whether your life is a full-time ministry, right, or you're just a minister, a disciple maker, whatever level of way he's given you, when you're ministering for a while, you just at some point you need rest. You need rest. It's a need, right? And so you see that here, that these disciples need a rest. We need. Why is that? Well, because ministry is about what? It's about giving. It's about serving, right? Ministry is always about others, and you're giving of yourself. It's not about getting, right? Right? That's the whole point of the body of Christ. We're not coming to get for ourselves, right? We got all we need from Jesus, but so we're giving. That's what ministry is. We're giving and serving. Well, that begins at some point you get depleted because you're giving. So you need to rest and refresh and reinvigorate yourself, right? That's just truth. Sometimes the rest that we require may be just a little bit of sleep, right? Maybe just a little physical downtime. And so a little nap in order, whatever, will supply us what we need, right? Sometimes that's all that's needed. But I want you to understand that the greatest need for rest that we have is at the soul level. The spiritual man needs rest. That's your greatest need for rest. And so therefore, because of that, I believe a lot of times, you never know, there's no separation in your spiritual man and your physical man and all that. I firmly believe when we start feeling that fatigue and that need for rest and I'm so tired, I believe a lot of times you're feeling your need for spiritual rest. And it's affecting you physically. That's why you can go seek the physical rest, right? I know I need it, and I go seek it, and then you get, I'm not any better. I'm still tired. What is going on? You need spiritual rest. That's your greatest need for rest. And so we'll continue in that in a minute, but would you see that we as disciples of Christ, as we minister, you need rest. You need time away to refresh, right? What's the second thing? There's going to be three. The second thing you see from this is that this is what I just love about Christ. He knows his disciples need for rest. Do you see that? He knows it, and he seeks it for them. Now, why does he know it? Well, he knows all things, okay? We can always play that trump card. But Jesus really knows their need for rest because he himself experienced need for rest. He was a man. He took on flesh. He's made like us in all ways as our great high priest, right? He knows our temptations and our challenges because he walked it. He lived it. He knows. He probably worked harder than all these apostles combined in emptying himself for man and serving. And so he knows the need very well. And he sees it here and he seeks it for his apostles. I love this because what you see is that Jesus knows your needs, brothers and sisters. He knows them very well. And not only does he know them, but he cares. And he cares so much that he's faithful to go and seek it for you to provide it for you. That's what he's doing. You need rest. Let's go get it, right? This is Jesus. This isn't even one of the types of the providers that, I've broken the sermon down into. So it's a bonus for you. But you see, what kind of provider is Jesus? He's an all-knowing provider, right? He's a compassionate, caring provider, right? He's faithful to seek it for you. It's just so beautiful. No, you see, Jesus, you have needs. Does he know? Does he care? Yes. And take courage and have peace. He's working on your behalf to get those needs for you. You can count on that. That's what kind of provider Jesus is, and you see it here. That's two. Now, there's a third thing I want you to see here. This goes back to what I was talking about earlier, but true rest, the rest we need often, is getting along with Jesus. You see, how did he provide them rest? He took them off by themselves with him, right? Rest was being with Jesus, alone with him, so that they could rest a while. This is just truth. Where are you going to find that rest for your soul, right? For the spiritual man. It's getting alone with Jesus and letting him give you the provision you need for the rest of your the rest for your soul and the rest for your spiritual man. We sometimes forget this because isn't it true? I mean, we all know, we feel our need for rest. We need rest. And what do? We go off after rest. There's these rest-seeking missions we go off on, right? And we go on a trip or we just sit down before the TV or some entertainment thing, which is something that we think I can just go into neutral and I can get rest. What happens? You get at the end of that thing and you're done and you're going, I'm more tired than I was before I began. Why? Because you didn't seek the true source of rest. And that's Jesus and being alone with him. I'm telling you, your greatest need for rest is supplied by being alone with Christ. And I mean getting alone with him, and you're going to pray and you're going to meditate on his word and you're going to worship him and you're just going to be alone with Jesus and let him kind of provide you that refreshing wind that only he can provide. I promise you. You know, Jesus said, all you who are weary and heavy laden, what should we do? Take a trip. No. Come to me and I will give you rest. Did you hear? Do you believe that? You know that verse. Do you have faith in it? I have to wash myself in that truth all the time here. I'm not any different than you. I go on rest-seeking missions, right? But I have found that he is the only source of true rest. So when I go on a rest-seeking mission, I make sure he's the heart of it when I'm there. I got to seek rest in Christ, you know? And he's even, God's good enough. He knows you need this rest. He's built them in. You know, what does the word Sabbath really mean? Rest. You know what the Sabbath's supposed to be for? It's for our good. What's our good? To go and have a day of rest, and what that means is resting in the Lord. Not napping. We can, if we need a nap, you take a nap. It's not, no, I don't mean it's bad to take a nap, but that's not the rest you really need. It's resting in the Lord, and you need it periodically, right? And again, if you've ministered a long time and you sometimes you need an extra sabbatical. That's a rest, an extended period of rest. But that rest comes from Jesus. I'm telling you, it's being alone with him, and you see it here. All right. So Jesus sees and knows and cares what a beautiful provider he is and seeks it for us. Now, we get into verse 11, we see more of this welcoming thing because what happens? They're seeking rest. Jesus is seeking rest for them. They get to the lonely place and again, Mark tells us that it's on the other side of the lake because what happens is they come ashore. They get off the boat and they come ashore and guess what's the first thing they see? Crowds, multitudes, the very multitudes they left on the other side of the lake. Why? They knew, they were aware of what was happening. They're going over there. And you know what they did? Mark tells us they ran on foot and got there before Jesus and the disciples got there. And so they get off the boat and, oh, there's the crowds. They need rest. They're seeking rest. All of a sudden, there's the crowds. What does Jesus do? He says, get away from me. No. What does it say? It says, welcoming them, he began to provide what they needed, which was first and foremost, he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus knew what they needed. They needed his word, and he gave it to them. Do you see that? Don't be deceived. You need the Word of God. That's what you need for your soul. You need Christ. That's how He provides Himself. It's through His Word. But He gives them that, and He heals all those who needed healing. So what you see is Jesus didn't turn them away. Wow. He just welcomed them. You know, He says He looked on them as sheep without a shepherd. We just talked about that earlier. Jesus is the perfect shepherd. And He said there, sheep without a shepherd are wandering souls. You know that? That's what He saw. He's like, they don't know where to go. They don't know the right path. I gotta help them. And He welcomes them and starts to provide what they need. As tired as they were, He welcomed them. And so do you see that? Beloved, isn't that just, that excites me? Because there is never a time when I can't go to Jesus and He's going to give me what I need. If I seek Him, if I'm really seeking Him and I want it, He's going to give it to me. He's never too tired. He's never too busy. He's never too distracted. He's never too anything. He's always going to welcome me in. If you're really sick, He's going to welcome you in, and He's going to provide you what you need. And first and foremost, He's going to start speaking the Word to you, okay? Hear me, He says. And that's what He knows what we need, and He's always welcoming in that. So that ought to encourage our faith as Jesus as a provider. There's never a time when He's not going to welcome. We can go to Him anytime. We sang, Jesus said, if I, you know, we go to Him anytime. Now, there's an added, I think, spur or call here. We as disciples are to be like Jesus. Boy, here's a hard call. But this is, He calls us to be like Him. How? To be a welcoming provider to those who seek us for needs. Even in times when we're tired. Make sense what I'm saying? This is not going to be easy. It's not natural. It's not of the natural man to do what Jesus did. We're going to have to be under the control of His Spirit. I can't will this to happen. Oh, I've got to be better. I can't. It's not in me. It's not in my flesh. I must surrender to the Holy Spirit who indwells me and let Him control me and produce this kind of fruit, supernatural fruit, to be able to seek to help people in need even when I am tired myself. Husbands and fathers, do you know what I'm talking about? You go out and you work. And you have a long week. Maybe just a long day. You have given it all. You poured it out at the wherever you're at, the office or wherever, construction site, wherever you've poured it out. And you're tired and you get in that car and you're headed home. And what are you thinking? I'm trying to get to what? Rest. Oh, if I just get in my sanctuary and, I know that I will just be able to hit that easy chair and find that rest that I really need. Right? Everybody ever been there? And you get home and you pull in the driveway and you get out of the door and what happens? There's all these people need you, right? Maybe pets too, I don't know. But everybody's there. It's the crowds. And I need you, Daddy. I need you, husband, right? I've been here all day with these kids. I need you to come, right? Because they need. And you know, what do? You know? And if rest is what you were seeking, you could, in your natural man, you might just tuck that football and give the stiff arm, like that Heisman pose, and hit. You're going to get to that chair, right? Get away from it. You could do that. We can do that. We've probably all done that in some way. But that's not what Jesus would have us do, is it? I think He calls us to provide what we can, right? We're actually not what they need. Jesus is, but we let Jesus work and live through us and try to seek to help them. Well, what about our rest that we need? We do need it. Yeah, Jesus knows that, doesn't He? We got to trust that, okay, He's put this situation in front of me for the glory of His name and for the good of me and people, and I'm going to serve as He calls me to, even though I'm tired, and I trust that He will give me the rest I need when I need it. He'll get it to me, right? I'm not going to die. I'm going to be okay. And Jesus will get me what I need. You see what I mean, brothers and sisters? And that's a hard, I'm telling you that from a man who, I'm ashamed of many times I have stiff-armed those who need me when I'm seeking my rest. Jesus would have us be better by surrendering and letting him live and work through us, right? And this applies to women too and kids, right? It's just, God calls you to, when you're tired, to help others too, right? It's not just a husband and man thing. But here, I just know from a man's point, it can be very something very similar. So just see how welcoming a provider Jesus is. He calls us to be that way too. Number two, and we'll go through this one. Jesus is not only a welcoming provider. Remember, we also saw he's all-knowing and caring and faithful. He is also a miraculous provider. Miraculous. For this, we'll be in 12 to 16, but it's the familiar story, I think. You know this, probably one of the more familiar stories to you about the multiplying of the food. What happens here? Well, this is just a continuation from what we just saw. They're tired, they're seeking rest, and the crowds come, and he just starts ministering. Well, apparently they do this all day, right? It just isn't a short time. They do this all day. They're ministering. These crowds are huge. There's no need into the needs in sight. And they just keep doing it all day until what? Well, the day began to decline. So the sun's going down, folks, right? And the disciples recognize, well, Jesus, you got to send these people away to the towns and villages. So that tells you they're out in a place. I've actually been to the place they believe this is roughly where it was. There's some grassy knolls. It's not a desert. It's very green, but it is a lonely place. The towns and villages are off a bit. He sends them. He says, you got to go. Send them. So why? Because if they're going to eat, they need to eat. And we got nothing, right? And they can't acquire or buy it here. There's nobody selling food here. Send them away. And Jesus, this is when he begins to prepare them for what he's going to do. Isn't he? Because he tells them, he said, well, you give them something to eat. I'm sure they're confused. I would be. And they begin responding the way I would. Well, they go, me? Okay, well, we don't have anything here but five loaves and two fish, right? So they're going to do the math, Jesus. The five loaves and two fish, and remember, these loaves are small. Two little fish are not whales. They're two. He's saying, this is all we have. You know, we got, it's in a little basket would hold it. And there's 5,000 men, no telling how many women and children, could be 10,000 more, I don't know. And they're going, impossible. And they said, unless you want us to go buy food for them. And again, guess what? We don't have enough money for that. Well, how much money would that take? So again, impossible. That's what Jesus is wanting to see. We can't. We're in an impossible situation. These people need food, can't do it. And that's when Jesus says what? All right, go have them sit down. Groups of 50, organized, always organized. Easier to count, easier to distribute. Just set them down in groups. And then as he has them set down, he takes the five loaves and the two fish, what he has, and he looks up to heaven, and he prays, right? And he actually, what he's doing, he's blessing the meal, isn't he? And he's actually thanking God for the provision that he's about to provide, and thanking the Father. And then after he prays, he does what? He takes the loaves and the fishes, and he begins to break them, and he's handing them to the disciples. And then they're going and giving it to the people. He's handing it to the disciples, and then they're going and giving it to the people. And he's handing it to the disciples, and he's going and giving it to the people, right? And how long do you think he does that? I would say that went on for a good while, because you're talking 5,000-10,000 people. What just happened, right? He just kept. Jesus performed a miracle, and everybody knew it, right? Especially the disciples. Why? Because they handled every bit of it. These five loaves and two fishes, they took to the crowds over and over and over and over and over, and they're going, Jesus just created food out of nowhere, folks. That's what he just did. And therefore, he reveals himself to be Creator God, because nobody but God can create ex nihilo, right? Which means out of nothing. And you go, well, he had five loaves and two fish. Yeah, he did, right? But we know he created a whole lot more bread and fish out of nowhere. And so he just said, look and see, I'm God. But he also, as we see here, right, didn't just reveal himself to be God. He He revealed himself to be a miraculous provider as God. And I say miraculous in that, again, they were in a situation where they needed food. We think of provision, that's probably number one that we think, outside of clothes and shelter. He provided it miraculously. What I mean is, they were in a situation where it was impossible to obtain that provision on their own. And he made them come face to face with that. You go give them. They can't. It's impossible. And Jesus just showed that with him, there is no impossible situation. If he wants to provide it, he will. He knows, he sees, he cares, and he can. Anytime, anyway, anywhere, any place. And so, if you know Jesus, right, and you really believe him to be your provider, you know that what if you go in your minds, well, what if this happens? What about my provision and I fear and I get anxious over it? There is no situation. It was Jesus cannot provide what you need when you need it. And so what have you got to do? You've got to trust Jesus that he will give you what you need when you need it, no matter what those situations, right? You know what I'm talking about. And we all, in the state of affairs in our land today, we all probably think, well, there could be a time very soon where we may not be able to actually get the basic needs we get. And if I continue to follow God and his ways and don't compromise and give in, I may not be able to get what I need. If Jesus is your provider, he can provide and will provide what you need no matter what circumstances. And you can trust him. You know, this builds my faith. I hope it builds your faith, brothers and sisters. He sees enough, and you're never going to find yourself in a place where if you need, you really, 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 really need it, God, that he won't provide it and cannot provide it. He will. He will give you what you need. He is a miraculous provider. There is no impossible with Jesus. There is none. He literally can, right, provide it out of nowhere for you. Now, as I call us to seeing Jesus as he truly is, so that we don't wind up in unnecessary fear and anxiousness over provision, though he really will provide. I'm not saying that he will. If we really need it, he'll provide it, right? There may be a situation where he needs us to lacken that provision we think we need in the moment. So we have to just trust him, and that's what I'm talking about. If we really need anything, he'll give it. Because he can in any situation. However, I don't know where else to put this, but I got to get it. I got to put it in. Because I don't want us to miss something here. As far as getting what we need, and yes, Jesus can miraculously provide it. What I want you to understand is if you know Jesus, you already have what you need. And he's already miraculously provided. And you don't need to go chasing Jesus so that he can give you bread. I want to give you the warning here that John gives. This is one of only a couple of stories that all four Gospels cover. And in this one, John covers this. And you know what? After Jesus miraculously provides all this food, everybody knew it. And guess what the crowds did? They clamor after Jesus wherever he goes. And you know what Jesus told him? Stop it. You know why he said that? He said, don't seek me for bread, right? You're seeking me for the wrong thing. If you're going to seek me for me, because I'm the bread of life that comes down out of heaven, and I'm your provision. That's what he was trying to tell them. And that's what I don't want us to miss that. If you have Jesus, you already have your provision. He's already miraculously provided it to you. What's more impossible situation than you, a sinful man, being reconciled to a holy God? There's nothing more impossible. I look back at, you look at that, and you don't already know the end of the story. You go, there's no way. That's not going to happen. But Jesus says, watch this. And he comes and lays his life down and sheds his blood as a means of forgiveness for our sins so that we, a sinner, can be brought in relationship with a holy God and can have eternal life. He's already provided what you need. And he's your bread of life. He's your provision. And so if you know him, you're not in a situation where you don't have what you need. It's impossible. You're already there. And so don't seek him for bread. Seek him for him. That's what Jesus told him, right? When Jesus told him that, guess what most people did? They left. Why? They don't want Jesus. Do you understand that? They don't want Jesus. They wanted the bread, what he could provide. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how to say this, but there are many people. When all you offer them is Jesus, they will leave you. They say they want Jesus, but they don't really want Jesus. They want what he can give them. And what he gives them, that's what they need, is himself. And that's what I want you to know and be assured of. If you know Jesus, you have what you need. Right? And then you can trust, if he's already given me what I need in my well-being, if I really, truly need anything else, he'll give it to me. He's already given me that. How can he not give me all good things? He will. If you have Jesus, you have what you need. Don't chase him for bread. And that can come in all different forms. Bread looks like relationships. Bread looks like things for my children. Bread looks like money. Bread looks like all kinds of stuff. Don't chase Jesus for gifts. If you chase Jesus for Jesus, because he's what you need. Last one, and we'll close. It's quick, but Jesus is a welcoming provider and a miraculous provider. And lastly, we see he's an abundant provider. This should be easy to see, right? The last verse. He provides the food, but how does he provide the food? How much? They all ate until when? They were satisfied. You know what that means? That means they were like, okay, I kind of got enough. No, they were full and they didn't want any more, right? He kept feeding them until they didn't want it. They had all they needed. They were satisfied. They were, we're done. And then what? And then they gathered the leftovers after everybody had all they wanted and there was more. 12 baskets full. Remember, they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Everybody ate, and they've got 12 basketfuls left over. See how abundant of a provider Jesus is. He gives us more than enough. He doesn't just give us a little taste, right? He doesn't just give us enough to get by. He gives us all we need and so much more till our cup runs over. How abundant and great of a provider is Jesus. And brothers and sisters, as I close, I just want you to see one more time that this is really only known in what I just talked to you about, in that Jesus is what you need, himself. If you know that Jesus is all you need, right, and you feed on Christ, then you know you've got more than enough. It never runs out, right? It's like the streams of living water well up in you and come running out. Jesus told, that's what happens when Jesus is what you need and you know it. You are satisfied and you have more than you need and you know it. And you can just keep coming back to him and keep coming. It never runs out. Jesus is not just a provider. He's an overabundant provider because in him we have more than enough. Our cup runs over. Praise God for Jesus, our abundant provider. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I continue to ask you in Jesus' name to give us what we need, and that you would bear fruit in this word. I think that you would give us faith in this, and not just knowledge about being our provider, but faith. We trust this. If we trust it, then it's going to look like us going after you and going after Jesus or all that we need and not any other things. You'll provide us what we need. But you are the one we pursue. So, oh, Father, help us. Give us that faith. Help us to see how great of a provider you are and how much you've already provided all that we need. You have made us right with the Father. Oh, Lord, help us to walk in faith in this and give glory to your name, Father, as others see us walking satisfied because we have you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.